97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Live here at RGS Exteriors. Whether you need rain gutter work, whether you need the complete side of your house redone, they can make it happen for you. 801-280-3110. All right. This was a good get. Jake Hatch reaching out, getting Joe Ingles on the air in the middle of the exhibition games being played by Australia. They got the win over Team USA, and DJ started out their conversation talking about playing some defense against Kevin Durant and trying to find a way to slow down the All-Star.
I was trying to defend him, which is obviously a pretty tough task. I don't know how many games of ours you've watched in my Australian career, but that's how we play. We're a gritty team. It's what we've always had to do, especially when I first started. We've had to get into teams, play defense. This is how when I first started, we had one NBA player, so we were struggling to kind of keep up with teams. And we get up into teams, and he definitely didn't do it on purpose, but as I got up into him on the first play, he squared up and got me in the baby maker. So wasn't too bad. Lucky it wasn't too hard. But he, and I was like, what are you doing? And obviously I knew he didn't do it on purpose, but nothing in it. It was a bit of fun, and glad we got a win.
So when you guys get together as a national team, it seems like your team in particular, and probably a lot of the national teams, they're able to, at least to a degree, pick up where you left off. But the Americans don't have that. How important is the fact that there's a lot of consistency in your national team from competition to competition?
It's extremely important. I think obviously the tough part for probably America, probably being the only one really, is the amount of players they can choose from. We obviously still have a pretty broad and big group of guys that we can choose from. But obviously America's is always going to be every NBA American, every NBA player, which is a lot of players around the world. So, we've been together a long time. We've actually got, I think, seven guys that are going to their first Olympics. So it is a bit of a new team for us. We've got Matisse Thybulle, who has never played with us before. He's never been, I think he knew like two or three of us before he came into camp. Like, he really didn't know anyone. We've actually got a new coaching staff this year. A complete new coaching staff. Everybody's different, I think. Maybe one guy's the same. So it's been different for us this year, actually, probably the most in kind of the recent history. So we have played together a bit. Our coach was our coach 13 years ago, which is different. Just having a group of guys that have been there together. Like, I started playing with Paddy when we were 15. So we're still playing together now. So that kind of shows the consistency we've had with our group. And it definitely helps us and for us. And there's a lot of other countries as well as obviously use it as an advantage. We're a few steps ahead of knowing how each other play and what we want to do off the ball and stuff like that. So it's definitely a bit of an advantage. But obviously USA and there's other countries too. Regardless of who's out there, it's still a very talented team.
So we're hearing a lot about how international ball is refereed different. And if, aside from the rules, and you know the goaltending rule is very different and all that, but how differently is the game called? How much of an adjustment is that?
Yeah, it's extremely different. We hadn't played for a couple of years just because of COVID and stuff like that, and the first game we played against Argentina here in Vegas, our whole team was probably the first half to kind of get used to the rules again. And the five can stand in the paint the whole, or anyone can stand in the paint the whole time. There's no 3 seconds. The court, I don't know if it is smaller, but it always feels smaller. Obviously, with the three-point line being a bit closer, not as much space in the lane to play pick and roll and stuff like that. Yeah, like you said, hitting the ball off the hoop if it's bouncing. There's no like Euro fouls. That's an unsportsmanlike foul. So they get shots and the ball back. So it is very different. I actually said after the first Argentina game, I forgot how physical it is. It's extremely physical. The guys, Argentina especially, pick up full court the whole game. Even US were up the floor a bit most of the game as well. So it's a very different style. It's refereed different. Obviously for us, like I said, and a lot of other countries, we've played these rules. You get used to it, but it still takes time to adjust to it. I think we'll get used to it. We'll get more and more comfortable. But it's very, very different to the NBA, which obviously the USA is something kind of very foreign to them because they've played with these the NBA rules a lot longer.
I'm wondering, you know, with the NBA, you guys had strict protocols that you could what you could do away from the court and all that stuff. How's it with you guys in this situation?
It's still pretty strict. I thought we'd be getting more lenient as we've gone on here this last couple of years, but it's kind of dangling around the same area. So we still test every morning here in Vegas now, and pretty much in a bubble. Obviously, a bit more to what's kind of going on. We're in, obviously, in Vegas. There's four teams here, I think, three or four teams, and I think more teams coming in to play USA a bit later after us. But really, apart from kind of leaving our rooms for practice and games, there's not too much going on. We've organised a couple of team events. We had an Australian guy host us last night at his house, and obviously they had to go through a few-day check of him being vaccinated and testing leading into it and all that, and it was completely outdoors the whole day. But he invited our men's and women's team over there for the night to have dinner, because we really haven't gotten out the hotel too much. There's a couple of places in the hotel we can grab a coffee and things like that. But it's also, on the flip side, from a player's point of view or staff, if you get COVID at this point, you're pretty much not going to the Olympics. It's that close. So our guys have been pretty smart, just trying to limit kind of seeing people and doing as much. Obviously, we're still playing the games, and only a few people have kind of tested positive since we've been here for a couple of weeks now. So, it's frustrating at times, and you want to go out and do something or sit by the pool or whatever it is. But in my mind, I don't want to miss the Olympics. So you do everything you can. Obviously, as we were during the NBA season, it's still a chance, obviously, with playing against guys and whatever. I'm around my team every single day. So obviously still a chance, but just trying to limit those chances as much as possible.
So for people who don't know the storyline, and you kind of referenced it when you were on with us last time, so I read up on it since then. Australia has finished fourth four times, the best country that's never medaled, 0-8 with the semifinals and then the third place game when you had a chance to lock up a medal. So when you tell us if you get COVID, you can't go to the games now, with this storyline and with you being so invested in the national team going to your fourth Olympics, I'm thinking you're way more locked in on this than most Jazz fans realize.
Yeah, I really am. And when I say we can't really leave the hotel, like I literally haven't left my room. I've walked downstairs to grab some coffees and stuff like that. But again, like I said, I understand regardless there's risk involved. That's just the way it is. It's the way it was in the NBA season. We made the decision during that time that our kids were going to be at school. Obviously, I knew the risks involved with those type of things. But Like I said, just doing everything possible away from those little riffs to not kind of get myself in trouble. So wearing our masks still on the buses and stuff like that, and to and from the games or whatever it is. But like you said at the start, I've put too much time and effort into this to not have or give myself and my team and my country and my family and my kids a chance to bring this medal home. Paddy and I, 12, 13 years ago when we first started, putting the time in, I guess, to build this to where we thought it could get to. And like I said, we had one NBA player. It was a lot tougher for us. We were still a good team, but it was a scrappy fight to win a game, to win every game. And we finished seventh or eighth for a few years there. And we've built this thing to what it is now. And being, I think we're ranked third or something in the world. But like you said, never being able to medal. And we've put so much time and effort into this and been so invested. It's why we've played every off-season for 12 years now. And we've got it kind of the flip side of our team when we first started. It's a bunch of NBA players now and a couple NBL players and a couple guys in Europe. So all of our guys understand that. All of our guys understand what we believe in our team and what we can do when we get to Tokyo. And a part of that is like I said, just deleting as many of those risks as possible. Again, obviously we understand that regardless, there's some things that go on, but just trying to limit them so that we're as healthy as possible going into Tokyo here. We leave in 4 or 5 days now, I think. So we're kind of at the final stretch to get there. So just being smart, the last few days to get there and then lock back in again when we get over there and figure out the rules and what we're in for over there.
So you speak of that there was only one NBA player in the beginning and now you've got several. Is that just an increase in the talent level of coming out of Australia?
Definitely of the talent level. And then obviously a part of it too, I think, is just the world recognizing Australian players. I think being so far away in our beautiful little country down there, even foreign players in the NBA, not just Australians, but back in the day, obviously it's grown and grown and grown. Obviously for us with Bogut kind of more recently being the number one pick, and then Ben Simmons and Dante was a high pick, and what Patty Mills had done being the 55th pick or whatever he was and winning a championship and Delhi winning a championship and Baines was with the Spurs and things like that. And then you get these role players come in and I think it just widened people's search for players instead of purely the NBA or that the few high level Europeans or South Americans or whatever. So yeah, I mean, it's a massive change for our team or our country. Like I said, I think it was Bogut was the only one when I first started. And you flip it back and look now and you look at the squad of 25 we had, and there's 10, 11, 12 NBA players in the squad. Not all of them are with us now, but there's such a big talent pool for us to choose from, which is nice. It's nice to have. To have plenty of options where in the past we haven't had as many options. It was 10, 11 of us that were playing in Australia in the NBL. And obviously for us to compete with that team, we played extremely hard. But at times there was just games that we couldn't win with the talent we had. We could play as hard as we wanted, but we were always just missing out or just losing. So, it's been a hell of a 12 years, really, just trying to, like I said, for Patty and I to be involved back then and push it and try and build it. And for the players themselves to work so hard to put ourselves, for them to put themselves in a position to have a shot at the NBA.
So are national teams open to players coming back and saying, hey, we're doing this, we're working on this skill development? Because watching you play, you got a lot of the shots for Australia against the U.S. that you get. You hit three threes right away, and some of those shots are the shots you get for the Jazz. And I saw that new, improved, quicker, higher release you've worked on. So do you take a lot of that stuff back, and do other guys, as Patty Mills, take a lot of that stuff back from your individual organizations?
Yeah, we do have as much time as we can. Obviously, there's team practice and stuff like that because we haven't been together. But we spend before practice, after practice, kind of segments, two or three of us. Obviously, it's very different. We don't have 10, 12 coaches and one each. We've got four or five coaches and the physiotherapist rebound and the doctor rebound and our equipment manager rebound. And it's you kind of make do with what we've got, which I actually really enjoy. It's I've said it before that there's nothing like the camaraderie and the no egos and everybody's in it for the right reasons. It's very different to anything you get with our national team. I don't know about other teams, so I'm not going to comment on that. But it's the reason I come back and play every year, because the enjoyment I get from being around these guys. And our coaching staff and our doctors and everyone that's involved. But yeah, we get plenty of time to do things. And I know there's a few things I can work on. Again, it's not as in-depth probably as what I would be doing if I was with Bailey and back in Utah working out. But we get shots up. We get to do things. We can play off little things. I can obviously easily tell one of the coaches to do X, Y, and Z if I want to do it for the next season as well. So, a lot of fluent movement between the kind of the Jazz and the Boomers in what I can do leading up to the tournament. Obviously, once we get there, it's pretty locked into the team stuff. But we've got a bunch, again, we've got a bunch of professionals that want to get better individually as well. So, we've got a hard working group, and we do a lot of stuff pre and post practice.
So since you have some downtime in your room, I don't know if you've been able to follow the NBA playoffs. If you have, are you pulling for Jay Crowder?
I haven't watched any.
None.
I love Jay Crowder.
Yeah, didn't you say he was your favorite teammate? Something like that. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah. He's the best. But I haven't watched, and I wish him all the best because I love him, but I'm still not going to watch.
So you're just watching how to hit fastballs when you get that in a cage against Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm going to smack that. That's not a question. I've been watching some other TV shows, and the camaraderie with this group, and we've got some new guys, like Matisse Thybulle's at the dinner last night, I was sitting with him and I was kind of joking with him, but asking if he knew everyone in our team's name. Like, that's how fresh he is with our group. Like, we sit up in our team room and play cards, and we have a meal room, and obviously very different to them. We've pretty much eaten every meal together, which is so much fun. We've sat with our girls' team a couple of times and had coffees. Like, it's hard to even explain the difference between a professional team and what we do here. But that's why, like I said, that's why we keep coming back to play, because it is so much fun. And obviously we've got a burning desire in us inside our team to get our first medal. So that pushes it all along. But it's so much fun being with these guys.
Well, if you're not watching games, that's one thing. But if you haven't seen the clip, you have to see Giannis Antetokounmpo's block late in game four, because I didn't ever think I would see a block as crazy and as thrilling as Rudy Gobert's game
winner. One of the guys on the bus did on an alley-oop or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he showed me that. Good on him. Hell of a player. And I wish him all the best.
There you go, Joe Ingles, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. If you want to hear it in its entirety, just go to whatever podcasting platform you'd like, and you can just search The Zone Sports Network, or you can go to our website at 1280thezone.com. RGSExteriors.com. Hans and Scotty, as we are live here at RGS Exteriors once again, and tell you what, there's really nothing you can't do. There's really no access to any material that you guys can't get, and you can make sure the outside of a house is what people want, then a house they can enjoy and appreciate.
You bet. If you've got something you're driving through a neighborhood, everybody does it. When you're driving through a new neighborhood, you're like, ooh, I like that house.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you figure out why you like that house, take a picture of it. Bring it in. Give us a call. We'll come out, and we can see what we can do to make your house look like that. That's an easy thing for us.
A lot of outdated exteriors here in the state. You know, things that were put up in the 70s and 80s, and something that you can come in and for a very friendly cost, you can actually make it look like it's a 2020 home.
Exactly. You can come in that old stucco that's cracking, kind of falling off, the old painted wood that's no longer, you know, that is curled and isn't looking good, and it just doesn't look sharp and clean. We can come in and take off that old, check out the foundation of your house, make sure your plywood, everything's in good shape, put a new moisture barrier on, and give your house basically a facelift.
What are the trends? What are people really gravitating towards now?
So you mentioned it earlier, white is yeah, kind of a really big thing. Clean and modern lines, less curves, more straight products. Like the board and batten is very popular. James Hardy has what's called the Hardy Reveal, which we actually have on the front of our showroom here, which is the big square panels, the like 4x8 panels. That's actually a very modern kind of clean look that's becoming more popular. Not a lot of people do it, and we do. So
that's a Hardy board too, huh?
It is. No. It's a Hardy board product. It's actually the Hardy Reveal panel is what it's called.
Well, and then also, and I want to touch on this. I know this is kind of a, we're kind of doing a shotgun approach here, but the rain gutter thing I think is really important, because I know there are a lot of people in February saying we've got to get this taken care of before next winter. And then April rolls around and then summer's fun. And in your back of your mind, you think, I need to call and get that taken care of. Well, if you wait until September, October, then you guys are really going to be backed up and you might not get out there until next February or whenever.
Can't really stress that enough. Right now is the time to have us come out, take a look at your gutters, give you a free estimate, let you know what you need to do to get it functioning right so you can make it through the winter. You don't have to worry about those ice patches on your driveway or your front porches or your frozen downspouts. We can come out and figure out how to fix that for you.
I would say that one of the things that's going to keep people away from calling is they're thinking, I can't afford this right now, or I'm going to have to save money, or I'm going to have to do this. But you guys have some real solid financing options for people.
We do. We work with a couple different lending companies. You can do a 12-month, same as cash, a 5-year, a 7-year, 10-year financing. We can find a program to fit what you're looking for.
All you have to do is call right now. There's so many great options. 801-280-3110. It's 801-280-3110. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Bob Casper.
At Royal St. George's, hitting it down the middle of the fairway, you could have two guys that hit it a foot apart from each other. One guy ends up really, really good, and the other guy bounces weird and goes into the rough or will go into a pot bunker or something like that. So it's just a weird golf course. It's got lots of bumps and rolls in the fairway. The greens have lots of weird undulation and bumps and rolls on them also. So you have to hit good shots, but you have to have some luck, too, to win this week at the Open Championship at Royal St. George's.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
RGS 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Live here at RGS Exteriors. Time for another edition of the Top 60 and 60. Oh my gosh, almost forgot about this. Lloyd, I sent it to you, right?
Yeah, we're good.
We're good to go.
I just completely spaced. I'm like, did I send that over to Lloyd? Yes, we're good.
Not that we need to do it since we already ruined it earlier.
Nobody guessed it.
Are you seriously?
No, I... 4 or 5 guesses. They were all not the right one.
Well, here it is, number 36 in our top 60 and 60.
Top 60 and 60. As the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 college football season.
We're gonna have a good time.
And now, it's time for today's selection. Every year, the countdown seems to be filled with defensive linemen from Utah. And today is no exception as we focus on a player who, year after year, continues to make big plays for the Utah defense. At number 36 from the University of Utah, 6'3", 310-pound offensive lineman, Huate Pututau. University of Utah head coach, Kyle Whittingham.
Huate Pututau, been in the program for many years, has played a lot of good football for us, very reliable, consistent player.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union and Icon on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
So there you go, the first of the Pututau brothers to make the list of 60. Right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
It's been in the system for a lot of years.
Did you hear Kyle kind of chuckle a little bit?
Yeah.
Lloyd, I don't know if you can cue that up, but he kind of chuckled a little bit when he said he's been here for a lot of years.
He is reliable, and I think that he'll be a good backup, a good contributor, but obviously that defensive line is deep. And the way I teased this pick was I think that his brother will be a larger contributor, have more tackles, more forced passes, more QB hits, more batted balls. I think his brother, Tennessee, is going to be better than he is.
Well, Bobby Pututau, been in the program for many years.
He's like, long time.
Been here a long time.
Well,
long.
When we play Britton Covey, we need to see if he makes that same comment. Because Britton's been around for a bit, too.
The voters agree with you, by the way, as we can just say that Tennessee Pututau is on the list and has not been selected. So they agree that Tennessee will be a bit of a bigger contributor this season than his brother.
In the program for many years.
I'm glad to see that they agree because they, I think, are correct.
All right, time for Total Recall. Looking back at some of the big moments of today's show, all brought to you by Angora Solutions. From concept to product launch, Angora can help build a stable revenue stream for you on your very own Amazon e-commerce platform. Find out now at angora.solutions. Let's go to earlier in the show where we talked about the fact that the Beef Hammer is a little upset with the Cobra. So Bryson DeChambeau had a tough day at the British Open, ended up plus one, had a hard time making the fairways, only hit 4 of 14 fairways.
Shuck.
Of course, you remember what happened in Montana.
He only hit 4 of
14 fairways.
Oh, my goodness.
Asked if he could still contend and win the tournament if he straightened out his tee shots. He said, if I can hit down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me, and we're still trying to figure out how to make it good on the miss hits. I'm living on a razor's edge, like I've told people for a long, long time. Well, he has a Cobra driver, and he's not happy about it. And Cobra now is not happy about it.
Oh, no.
So Cobra, a source from Cobra, and this story was written by, let's see, it's on Golf Week, David Dusick, got a hold of one of the Cobra people who said, everybody is bending over backwards. We've got multiple guys in R&D who are CADing, computer-aided designing this and CADing that, trying to get this and that into the pipeline faster. Bryson knows it. It's just really, really painful when he says something that's stupid. DeChambeau is currently using a Cobra Radspeed driver that's 46 inches long, has 5 degrees of loft. You won't find a club like that in your local pro shop. They're all made specifically for Bryson. He's never really been happy, ever. Like, it's very rare where he's happy. Now he's in a place where he's swinging a 5-degree driver with 200 RPM of ball speed. Everyone's looking for that magic bullet. Well, the magic bullet becomes harder and harder to find the faster you swing and the lower your loft gets.
They've got to get out of this.
Yeah.
I guess a contract's a contract, unless you're Notre Dame. But they got to get out of this partnership. That's a right now they're in a miserable partnership.
Yeah.
They just called him
when he says something this stupid.
They didn't call him stupid.
They called his comments stupid.
And when you start going after sponsors, it's such a fine line to walk, because I understand he could get angry. You know, like there were certain cleats or there were certain socks or there were certain girdles that I hated. I hated them. But you either used them or you had to go out and find a different product, and it was always a pain in the butt. You after a game, you're like, hey, I think that this foot fracture is because of these shoes. As a professional athlete, you say that, and you could potentially bring down a whole world of hate and anger on you.
Well, it was like the Nike shoe when Zion blew it out when he's playing for Duke. Now, he didn't say anything, but the whole world saw the shoe blow up on the court, and that was not good.
That was horrible. It was such a terrible look. His socked foot comes sliding out of the front part of that shoe.
Total Recall here on the Zone Sports Network. Our conversation with the Beef Hammer, getting sideways with Cobra. That relationship's going to be severed, don't you think?
Yeah, that's broken, man.
Yeah, you can't go out there and say, my driver sucks, and then Cobra fire back and say, what you said was stupid, and we're a little tired of bending over backwards for every little demand that you have, and maybe you shouldn't be swinging at 200 RPM and with a 5-degree loft. Maybe the problem is you.
Maybe the problem is the user.
Yes.
This is why he is so unlikable.
Oh, Beefs?
Beefs, yes.
No, this is why he's so entertaining.
No, he's not entertaining.
He's a golfing storyline that we all have to pay attention to.
I mean, essentially, he just became the guy at the local Muni that said, my driver sucks. Like, no, it doesn't. You suck. You can't hit a fairway.
Truth is, you're terrible. Yeah, I need to make a correction. I thought that Haotai Pututau was Tennessee's brother. It's not. It's his cousin.
Oh, they're cousins. Okay.
Yeah, so that's on me.
Lloyd, a little different.
It's one of them has the same parents, both of the parents, but one has brothers. So, no, it's not the same. That's a bad mistake by me. I apologize.
You guys are my brothers.
Yeah. That is true, Lloyd. That is so true.
Yes. All right. Lloyd, you want to wrap up or do you want to sneak one more in? All right. We'll continue on with Total Recall right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. And just as I did that, my computer just froze up. Oh, here we go. Kurt Hedlund breaking down the NBA Finals.
That was one of the most amazing physical plays you've ever seen, just right? Like tracking that, getting up, shutting down a strong 7-foot guy. This wasn't like you blocked some guard. It was a physically just an amazing play, and I think what's been good for whatever happens in this series, Giannis never has had that, the cultural cachet of some of the other big-name superstars. Of Kevin Durant or even Steph Curry or James Harden or a bunch of guys. Like, he just doesn't have that casual fan cachet. He doesn't have he hasn't been on the biggest stages, doesn't have the endorsements and all that. I think this starts to change that. I think people get a real glimpse of what he does well and what makes him an amazing player.
A little bit worried. There's some concern. He did leave the game a bit early. Have we got to the bottom of what happened there, Kurt?
Not that I have heard yet. I know that there was some concern about his leg. I am not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. There's a couple guys. Chris Paul seemed to be rubbing his knees a lot last night. I mean, I think a lot of that is just Jrue Holiday hounding him for 94 feet. But, it's something to watch. I haven't heard anything. There's been nothing official yet. And the problem is this time of year, it's really hard, especially with the distance between the media and the team. It's just really hard to get a sense of what's real and what's not. And this time of year, teams are, you know, and they've gone full on 1980 hockey, you know, it's a lower leg injury type of stuff on the, it's really hard to read what's actually going on. Kawhi Leonard had a torn, you know, partially torn ACL, but yeah, it's a sprain. He's fine. Like, he might play, you know,
the, Drew Holiday and his ability to hound Chris Paul certainly seems to be a nice adjustment. And certainly something that if he can continue that and continue to hound Chris Paul seems to be one of the things that has been working for Milwaukee. What else have you seen that the Bucks have been able to do to try to really slow down Phoenix after they went up 2-0?
They've done a better job dealing with the pick and roll. They struggled a little with it yesterday. Again, they kept Chris Paul out of trouble. Their size allows them, even when, they're playing small. They don't have Brook Lopez out there. Giannis is 7 foot and stupid athletic, and they've got these other big guys. So they don't play small in the traditional sense, and that allows them to keep Ayton. There's not a bunch of 6'8 guys out there that you can just start lobbing to Ayton over the top of. There's guys with enough length to really disrupt that. P.J. Tucker's not that tall, but good luck moving him. So I think that they're able to disrupt Ayton a little, and then it just comes down to, when Booker gets hot like he did in this game, they have a chance to steal stuff. But they're going to need a lot more. They need more out of Chris Paul and Ayton, ideally, but they're going to need a lot more Booker in this series because he's the one guy who's really, they've had Middleton on him. They've put Holiday on him for stretches. They don't really have a good matchup for him. I'm not sure there's a great matchup for him.
Now the series is all square. Home court seems to be holding suit throughout the course of this series. You go back to Phoenix, and with these, I hate saying small market, but it has more of a, there you go. That is Total Recall and Kurt Heelan breaking down the NBA Finals. Wrap this thing up. Get you ready for the big show straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
I never thought Notre Dame would ever play the home game. It owes BYU.
Be a reason.
They're Notre Dame. They don't really have to.
But why'd they sign the contract in the first place? They're supposed to hold up your end of the deal. One time I went to Ocean City with a bunch of my friends. A bunch of people were walking by. And we got a change into our beach gear. And so a couple of the guys were holding towels up. All of a sudden, one of them dropped the towel. You're not holding up your end of the deal here. We held up the towel for you. Now Notre Dame is dropping the towel. And there BYU sits naked as can be.
Oh, that was a long way to go to get there.
That was pretty lame. But the point is, Notre Dame should live up to that deal.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires. The team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Wrapping up another edition of the show. Big show coming up next with Jake and Gordon.
Well, I loved Game 4. Looking forward to Game 5. Feeling more and more better about my pick. I still think Milwaukee's got more to give, but we had Kurt Heelan on, and Kurt was talking about Phoenix's ability. The Suns can explode at any time.
Oh, yeah.
How good did Booker look through parts of that third, man? He was so good. Unstoppable.
Yeah.
What was he, 7 of 7 or 8 of 8? He had a consecutive streak that was ridiculous. But it was impressive for Milwaukee to be able to stop that bleeding. They're down by 9 at the beginning of that fourth quarter. They stopped the bleeding and come chugging back off of a couple of Chris Paul turnovers, and they get that win. It was really impressive. I know you feel the same. I'm hoping for a Game 7.
That's all I want.
Just give me the Game 7 in the finals.
I mean, I like the local dudes that are playing for Wisconsin or for Milwaukee. So yeah, I would I like them to win? Sure. But other than that, I really don't have a dog in this fight. I just want to keep watching more basketball.
Yeah, you just want to see entertaining basketball.
Yeah, I don't want to have to turn on baseball in the middle, at night.
I'm with you. And then the other big breaking news during our show was that Bradley Beal is out for the Olympics, will not travel to Japan. And that means they've got to find a replacement for Bradley Beal. Things are continuing to get worse for the men's Olympic basketball team. And they put Jeremy Grant on protocol.
And so Grant's on protocol. Now, you do have Drew Holiday coming. You've got Devin Booker coming. You've got Middleton coming. So you have a little bit of the cavalry on their way, but if they're still playing these guys 42 minutes a game, I don't know how much they're going to have left in the tank.
They probably won't have a ton of motivation left.
And frankly, if you're Booker, you might just say, hey, look, I'm beat.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. If you win a title or lose a title, which one would you be more likely to pass on the Olympics? Because I think if you win a title, you're going to want to go and be like, hey, guys,
yeah,
I'm here to save you. You lost Australia. I just won an NBA title. Let's go.
Yeah.
But if you lose, you're like, I don't want any part of this.
Could you imagine winning an NBA title and then going and getting a gold a couple weeks later?
Yeah.
And you would be motivated to do it. If you lost, you're just like, nah, I got to lick my wounds.
And if you lost, you have to be teammates with the guy who just won. And have him chirping.
Yeah, crazy. And you don't want that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? Booker's sitting
there. Oh, hey, you're
Middleton.
Here. Yeah.
Hey, how about you just shut up, Chris? Just shut up and pass me the ball. Yeah, it didn't work really well in the finals, did it, Booker?
Yeah, so anyway, Booker, what's your ring size? Because this is mine. Oh, wait a minute. You're not getting one. Yeah. All right, wrapping things up, RGS Exteriors, so much you guys do, and that's the great thing, and we've been talking about this. Even if you just want to get some ideas of what things are available, what things might cost, what the timeline is, if you've been sitting at home over the last year and a half realizing that you need to do some things to your house, now's the time to take advantage of it.
Give us a call. We've got estimators that can come out, look at your house, walk it all the way around, give you ideas on everything, anything you want to change on your house. Give you if you're looking for design ideas, we can put it in the computer, give you a rendering, and let you see what it is you want to do.
And the great opportunity here is to make sure that you've got a house that, you know, because a lot of people are like, you know what, we'll just, you know, in a couple of years, we're going to move, and then we're going to have our dream home. Well, the way real estate prices are, you're going to make a little bit of money on your house, but you're going to put that right into a new one. And more. And who knows if that house is even going to be available, because you're going to be fighting 20 people to try to get that house. So why not invest into your own home and make it your dream home?
Yeah. Right now is the best time to come. Give us a call. Let us come out. Give you a free estimate so that you can get your dream home now.
Right now, whether it's rain gutters, whether it's the side of your house, whether it's a major project or just a little one, RGS Exteriors is here to help. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
This has been 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Big show next.